You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics that we would like to discuss with you. We also have some other random tangents that we will go off on. But also as well on this week's episode, we also have a special guest calling us on the show. One of our favorite interviews that we've done. He's back for a second helping of the Crispy Noodle. Vic DiPotato will be joining us later on in the side dish. We got a lot of things happening on this week's episode. Thank you for joining us as we give you this complete meal for your mind. Before we delve into all of the topics at hand and get the ball rolling, we'd like to do a little personal recap as to what we've been up to. Mike, how you doing? What's up in the world of Michael Costanzo?
Not much. It's been good. I've been catching up on some previous entertainment releases that I've been slacking on. I watched I, Tonya, the movie came out last year
about
Tonya Harding.
Nominations?
For the acting. The acting was great. Margot Robbie was really good. The other one was really good. I can't remember her name.
Wow.
Isn't that terrible? Expert. I'm like, I'm going to talk about this movie, but immediately forget
who's analysis. Another girl.
If you just give me a second, Allison Janney. She was fantastic in that as Tonya Harding's mom. It was really good. Very unique. It was sort of like a biopic, but it was done in the styling of like a meta fictional dark comedy, because they were doing like fake interviews with everybody, I guess. And they would narrate certain things that happened in the movie. So it had this meta fictional aspect to it, and it was semi biographical, but it all had this dark comedy twist to it. There was actual drama in it too. I mean, there were some really great scenes, some really powerful acting. And it really helps paint the whole Tonya Harding controversy in a new light, you know, where she had her boyfriend have somebody bashing Nancy Kerrigan's knees. You know, it sheds a different perspective on that and changes how people might perceive that, which is really interesting. It's not a movie that you immediately think, I really want to watch it because it's about a controversy in figure skating, but yeah. it was captivating enough, just the performances.
I think we've discussed figure skating, once here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I think it's this time.
Yeah.
I think this is the one time. But no, you know what? If you're looking for something truly different, like you don't see a lot of movies like this, go check it out. It's got good review scores. The acting and the drama is captivating enough, and Margot Robbie is just stunning to keep you glued to the screen. I highly recommend it. Go check out I, Tonya. I've also had a chance to finally catch up on a lot of Westworld Season 1.
Yes.
That was the other big one that I've been watching recently. Slowly but surely making my way through the first season. It is a humdinger, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
I'm all caught up on Westworld. I love Westworld. I'm addicted to it. And yeah, it's one of those shows like you just don't know what's happening, and I love every second of it.
It is completely laced with that, you know, philosophical slant, and that real heady type material that the Nolans are known for. This is Jonathan Nolan,
right? Not Chris Nolan.
Writing and producing this show, the Christopher Nolan's brother, but he wrote all those or most of those scripts for or with Christopher Nolan for his movies. So. If you're a fan of that type of cerebral show, I think this is good for people.
Yes.
I'm saying that only halfway through the first season, so I don't know how things end up. But
keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting to the part now because, admittedly, it's slow. It's good, but it's slow. And it's taken a while to get into things, but now it's at the point where it's starting to ramp up a little bit. So it's...
You got to do some world building.
Yeah, exactly. And I love the world they're building, and just the concept of it and the themes present in it are just all really, really interesting. It's, you know what it is? It's, I always watch these types of shows too late at night. Like, I'll put on an episode at 10, and I'm not going to make it.
10 is too late.
I'm not going to make it. And I know I'm not going to make it, but I'm like, I don't want to watch it. And I put it on, fall asleep, then I have to rewatch it the next night, and it's like, I just end up watching episodes two times each, half conscience for each one, you know, and it makes a complete viewing. I exaggerate a little bit, but not by much.
Yes.
So that's what I've been doing, catching up on some recent entertainment, or old entertainment that I never got around to. Rich, what have you been up to recently?
The summer concert series has begun here in Philadelphia for the rock scene. And for me, it was Bon Jovi on Thursday night.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Got to see the pride of Jersey, Bon Jovi, at the Wells Fargo Center. And
how was that?
It was interesting.
For a Thursday night concert.
It was interesting. Admittedly, Bon Jovi is one of those bands that I like, but like, I was never really like a crazy Bon Jovi fanatic.
Right. I can name like three songs.
You think it's only three, but you actually know a lot more if you really sat down and if you wanted to play like a game and try and list how many Bon Jovi songs, you could probably name a lot more than you're actually thinking of right now.
It's like a David Bowie type thing, because I felt the same way about David Bowie.
But they were actually pretty good live. It's one of those, like, it was nice that I was able to check it off my concert list. Like, yep, I've seen Bon Jovi now. Put that on my concert resume, as Pierre Robert would call it. and I got to tie this in. This was also part of WMMR's 50th anniversary. It was their 50th anniversary show.
Wow. I didn't realize they'd been around that long.
Right.
Wow.
And Bon Jovi actually mentioned twice during the performance that WMMR was celebrating 50 years in Philadelphia, and that it's such a rarity for radio to have lasted that long, because most radio stations go through, changeovers and switches and format cleansings. And,
so
very rarely do you see a radio station stay for 50 years, one format, one call sign.
And it has been the same format.
Yes.
That entire 50 years. That's
correct.
That's really impressive. So 1968?
Correct. It was when it first launched with the Marconi experiment and some other ragtag DJs that decided to play some alternative rock at the time.
Wow. So it's always been rock the whole time.
Yep. Always been rock. Wow. 50 years. 50 years of rock, essentially.
Very cool. I did not realize that.
Yeah. And I got to have the pleasure to work for that radio station. It was just one of those, like, you take stock kind of moments, like, wow. This is great that we're here celebrating with Bon Jovi. And we're lucky here in Philadelphia that there's a radio station on the terrestrial dial that you can dial up for your rock needs.
Right.
Because it isn't like that anywhere else for the most part. Maybe Seattle and LA. LA's got KIIS, and Seattle's got a couple. But other than that,
the big markets probably have it. But
it's tough. They're
automating it all.
Yeah, and it's sad to see, because radio is a beloved format of mine.
Yeah.
Obviously, we do the podcast here, which is podcast is essentially just on demand radio. When you think about
it,
you get to choose when you want to listen to us and everything. So.
Which is all the time, of course.
Yes.
Obviously.
And by the way, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Drop us a rating and a like.
Exactly.
No, also, do that, for real.
Actually, that actually would help. But it was great to see them live. Also, another thing that I want to give a shout-out for is congratulations to our friend Kat, who does the female voiceovers.
That's right, she does.
on our promos. During the breaks that we take, she just bought a house.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Yeah. That's a big step.
Right.
That's an expensive step.
Yeah, expensive step. It's funny. It's like, I feel like that's like, I know her and like a couple of other friends are starting to like do like the adulthood jumps.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh my gosh, I guess
When are you buying your house?
Right. It's like, oh my gosh, do I have to get my stuff in order now?
You got
to
keep up with the Johnsons. you got to buy your house.
Yeah. I don't know.
With your white picket fence.
Yeah. I don't know if that's happening anytime soon.
I don't have that type of money.
Yeah. Student loans.
Yeah.
Anyway,
let's talk about happier things.
Right. So congratulations to Kat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
friend
guys.
Of the show. So good news on that as well. All right, I think that wraps up everything for our personal side. So let's dive into our first batch of news topics, which revolve around the sports world. Folks, it's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face here in this first segment. And we try and hit a couple topics as fast as we can in 2 minutes or less. It's time for the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, the clock is up and loaded, and go, Mike, 2 minutes.
All right, let's do it. This week in the two-minute drill, we're going to kick things off with a little bit of hockey news. I know, hockey, what?
Huh?
But this is important. The Las Vegas Golden Knights are currently making a very historic run in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, recently beating the San Jose Sharks in Game 6 to propel themselves to the Western Conference Finals. Wow, that is a huge step right there, especially given the fact that the Vegas Golden Knights are NHL's newest expansion team. This is their first season, so they're literally setting records with everything they've done so far, but making the conference finals in their first year is a milestone that many critics are going to have a really hard time writing off as quote-unquote beginner's luck. They'll face some tough competition in this last stage before the Stanley Cup Finals, but we're eager to see how historic they can make this spectacular debut season. Rich, how exciting is this?
It's crazy. I mean, usually when you're on the professional level, expansion teams are a joke.
Right, exactly.
Are a joke.
You got a bunch of nobodies on your team, maybe one good person, but it's usually a bunch of, you know, young kids and no-names and has-beens, and they're in the conference finals.
Yeah, good. I'm rooting for them. Go ahead.
Hey, Flyers are out of it. Let's go Vegas Knights.
Woo!
Golden Knights, sorry.
Yeah, they're golden, Mike.
The golden, that's right. But this is golden, too. Some feel-good news out of Atlanta, Georgia. They're making sports fields more accessible for youths throughout the city by building small soccer fields on top of subway stations. The Metropolitan Atlanta Transit Authority is working with a group called Soccer in the Streets to bring sports and accessible fields to kids in Atlanta. The first pilot field was built in 2016 and was a success, and they now have plans to build 9 more. The hope is that that children of all ages and backgrounds will be able to quickly, easily, and safely get to any of the public station fields via public transportation. As an added bonus, the two-minute drill is over.
Yes. Yeah, that's a cool story.
I was going to say, as an added bonus, police say that safety concerns are actually improving as more people frequent those areas, which had previously been abandoned lots, and that transit officials also predict that ridership will increase. And so this is really just a win-win-win situation for everybody involved. I mean, yeah. this is a great story.
Great story. Hopefully it starts a trend.
Yeah, and it's such a unique idea, too. They take these abandoned lots over subway stations and turn them into small, like, half-size soccer fields.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so good on you, Atlanta.
Yeah. Keep up the good work there.
There you go. Congratulations.
All right. Well, let's get to something that you do know.
Yes,
Eagles offseason news. I believe you have a couple tidbits you want to mention here.
Yeah. So some big Eagles offseason headlines. Everybody is wondering, of course, about the young star quarterback Carson Wentz. How's his rehab from that terrible, what was it, ACL tear?
ACL LCL
tear, you know, back in, I think it was week 11. Or no, 13? I can't remember. That's
13
against the Rams. Everybody's been wondering how it's going, but reports are indicating that rehab is going very, very well so far. According to various reports, Wentz is already running, so that's a really positive sign and, you know, giving people a good indication that he will probably be ready for the start of the season. But more importantly, he sent tape to a team of quote-unquote quarterback gurus. It's a particular group, 3DQB, and they have determined that his throwing mechanics are the same, if not better, than pre-injury. And people might be going, why do I care about this? Well, typically during injuries, quarterback mechanics suffer or change because the players have to make adjustments to cope with the injury. You know, maybe they favor one foot over the other, or they, you know, turn their body a certain way, or they pull back on their throws. But they're saying Carson Wentz, they don't see any of that in his tape. His mechanics are still sound. He's running great. He's throwing great. So can Carson Wentz continue to defy the odds? Can he come back 100% for the season opener? I don't know. I hope so.
I hope so.
Sports medicine keeps getting better and better. That's why I'm not particularly worried.
I hope so, but the one good thing about not treating Nick Foles is that we don't have to rush him back. Nick Foles can be ready to go game one of the 2018 season if we have to go that route.
I don't think it's going to come to that, honestly. I don't think Carson Wentz wants to stay off the field a second longer than he has to. I hope he plays it smart. But I think he's really chomping at the bit to get back at it.
Oh, yeah. But at the same time, though, I hope the training staff is using correct judgment and not rushing him back onto the field.
I hope so, too. It seems like they're off to a really good start, and the Eagles are usually pretty good with that type of thing. So basically, the point of the story is just to tell everybody, hey, good news, Carson Wentz is doing just fine.
Yeah.
We still have a few months to go, so we'll see how things pan out. But right now, it's looking very optimistic. Unfortunately, there's a tad bit of disappointing news to get to as well related to the Eagles. The Eagles' standout defensive tackle, Tim Jernigan, recently suffered a herniated disc in his back, which is expected to sideline him for at least 4 to 6 months.
No!
Yeah, this is big injury news here.
This is a bigger loss than I think people realize. Tim Jernigan was crucial in the middle of that defensive line alongside Fletcher Cox. He was a key role in getting that defense off to that hot start and keeping them consistent. People that are doing the math in their heads are realizing that best case scenario, he's not going to be back until probably the end of September.
Right, which already is.
And that's super optimistic. 4 to 6 months at worst case scenario, or even average scenario, you're looking at more like late to early November.
Yeah, so he's going to miss a couple of games.
Yeah, so at probably a more than a handful. Rich, are you concerned with this injury, or do you think the Eagles have enough depth there on the defensive line to make up for this?
This definitely hurts the whole argument that the Eagles were going to have the best defensive line in football.
How worried should we be?
Definitely somewhat, but at the same time, though, we do have quality players to back him up. Hopefully Bennett comes back from whatever legal troubles he's in.
Right. And a lot of this is dependent on that.
Right.
The other aspect is we just signed Haloti Ngata in free agency. So we have options. I don't think it's as dire as I originally made it out to seem.
No, but it is newsworthy.
It is definitely
newsworthy.
That's
going to be a big loss to that defensive line.
It is. Part of the success of that defensive line is rotating fresh bodies in and out. And this is just one less person you have to work with. You know, and I think we lost Vinnie Curry.
Right, to free agency. Yep.
Yeah. You know, losing Jernigan to injury, losing Michael Bennett to legal issues.
Possibly.
Possible legal.
Still up in the air.
Yeah. We'll see. So, you know, we're already down a couple of bodies on that defensive line. It's going to make rotating in and out tough. But, you know, we've drafted some players. We've signed some players. We'll see how it goes. The really interesting thing about this whole scenario, though, is that one of the sort of side consequences of this whole issue is that because this injury occurred in a non-football related incident, so he didn't get injured because he's like jumping fences or like playing some crazy adventure sport or action sport. You know, he was training, but he wasn't doing it at the team facilities. So the team is like, you shouldn't have been doing that. They are actually altering his contract and transitioning the last 3 years of the contract to option years, which means that his salary for those years is no longer guaranteed and that the Eagles can choose what to do with him each and every year after this upcoming season, and it's all dependent on whether he can pass a health evaluation at the start of that year. I mean, this is kind of bad news for Tim Jernigan, but at the same time, the Eagles have to make sure that if you're going to be paying $10 million plus to a player, that he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Was this a drastic move, or do you think the Eagles were right in doing this?
Well, unfortunately, in the NFL, the team always has the final say.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL is the only league where a team can cut any player for any reason, and there's nothing that the player can do about it.
Right.
So it's not unexpected.
Right.
I think you'd be pretty naive if you would say, oh, what? This is like coming out of left field or something. In terms of the actual morality of it, I mean,
this is football. There's no morality.
Yeah.
No.
I
kid.
It's business. Football's a business.
It is. It is absolutely a business. And you know what? While it seems harsh, I'm completely on the Eagles' side with this. They need to make sure that they're not guaranteeing, you know, $20 to $30 million to a player who is going to get injured doing his own training routines in the off season.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the fact that he was injured doing his own training routines is also kind of alarming, because players always do their own training routines. I don't know what he was doing to herniate a disc in his back.
Yeah, it's a serious injury.
Right, exactly. He's going to probably need surgery, and it's probably going to be 4 to 6, you know, like I said, 4 to 6 months being out. That's not a minor thing. So you have to make sure that players are following the contract and that they're not going to jeopardize the performance of the team, especially such a key player. You know, he was a big key player. So this is, you know, the Eagles have to look out for their future. And now that we're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
Super Bowl champion.
Hello.
Defending.
Yeah. We're defending Super Bowl champions. Hello.
We have a legacy to uphold. Okay. So but in all seriousness, I hope he gets better soon. And I hope he gets back to 100% and he can be a contributor for the second half of the season, because that is, you know, probably an optimistic outlook for this.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be losing some money because of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately, the NFL's a business. And, the team's going to look out for their interests. So
it's all about the money.
Unfortunately, it is. It is when it comes to cap space and everything like that. It really is.
I will say this. This helps the Eagles with cap space down the line. It certainly does.
It does. That'll help out.
This was Howie Roseman's plan all along.
Injured Timmy Jernigan.
That's right. He's going to have a movie made about him in like 10 years called I, Roseman. Or I, Howie.
Just predicts which players are going to get hurt.
But anyway.
Yeah.
There's another quote-unquote sport in which money is a big factor, and that is horse racing.
Yeah. Good transition, Mike.
I tried.
Yeah. So this is one of the few times of the year that we're going to talk about horse racing. So last Saturday was the famous Kentucky Derby, the first of the three races that you need for the Triple Crown. You have Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and Belmont.
That is already like an infinite amount times more knowledge than I have about horse racing in that contained in that one sentence.
Okay. So the cool thing about this year's Kentucky Derby was that a horse called Justify won the race. And it's kind of an oddity because this horse is very inexperienced. It's only been in 4 races in its career history, young career history of only of 3 years, winning all 4 of them. So it's undefeated right now in every race that Justify has ran in, which has netted its owners $2.1 million, which
that's
pretty good average.
Yeah, it is.
It's a pretty damn good average.
Yes, it is.
Making money for those owners. But the interesting thing is a lot of people are wondering if this inexperienced horse can go on to win the Triple Crown this year. And as another side note on this, and this was something that I read on one of the news articles, is that Justify's win at the Kentucky Derby on Saturday breaks a famous curse called the Curse of Apollo, because Justify is the first horse since 1882, the horse was Apollo, to win the Kentucky Derby without ever having previously raced as a 2-year-old horse or younger. Usually,
such a strange statistic.
It is. Usually, for horses that are bred to race, by the time they hit 2, that's when they're expected to start professionally racing and enter these competitions. Justify didn't start entering competitions until year three, which places this horse as, quote, inexperienced, according to some horse racing experts. So I know it's an interesting thing because you can't really – I don't know. I feel like you can't really predict horse racing. That's why a lot of people gamble on it. That's why everyone tries to make money off of it. But do you think it's possible that, quote, an inexperienced horse could win the Triple Crown this year?
I think the more interesting story is why you think I'd be able to answer that question.
I don't know.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
That's the way I framed it.
Well, I was thinking about this as you were talking, and I don't think that it's possible. I think it's kind of a ludicrous idea that people are thinking that this horse can win the Triple Crown because inexperience, I mean, how much has this horse trained? How much stamina does it have? You know, it's getting into the game later. Has it really developed whatever it is that horses need to develop in order to race, you know, these long races and win three of them?
And also, to go back to probably one of the only few times that we ever had a horse racing debate here on the Chris Moodle podcast is the topic of in the second and third races, in the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes, to win the Triple Crown, new horses come in. So
he's not going to win because, like every other year, some horse owner is like, "Hey, we didn't race in the previous two. Let's just be a spoiler and put our fresh horse in the last race and steal someone else's glory." If you're going to call it a Triple Crown and you're going to have it be its own thing, like a playoff series, if you're going to make them all lead up to some larger prize, it should be viewed as one collective, okay? You can't break them down and say, like, if you happen to win these three separate events, you also get this other thing. No, the three of them, if they are all part of the Triple Crown, it's part of a series. It's part of one thing. You can't have horses entering the last leg of this thing and say, give me, you know, I don't know. It just seems ludicrous to me. I know you disagree, but it seems ludicrous to me.
Yeah.
And this poor horse, Justify, he's going to have his Triple Crown stolen from him. I don't think he's going to win regardless. I think he's going to come out in the next one, the Preakness or whatever. He's probably going to lose because he's 3 years old. He's so old. He's ancient in horse terms.
In terms of horse.
The training, the musculature. It's just, I don't even know how to analyze horses. But that's my professional horse racing analysis. You can tell I've worked very hard on it.
It's just funny because that was like one of the very few times we really got into a serious debate about horse racing.
I mean, it was a very serious debate.
Yeah,
it was a long debate.
Yeah. So I mean,
tell us your viewpoint.
I mean, the way I you're gonna laugh at this. The way I figure it is I look at it like golf with the majors.
Okay.
There's four majors, and the professional golfers can enter all four of them if they want, or they can only compete in two of them if they want, or three of them, or one of them if they want, or, you know, to me, it's a similar thing. So
but at the end of the four of them, do they call it the
call it the Grand Slam?
Right, but that's more
if you win all four majors, it's the Grand Slam.
Yeah, but it's not like you get a trophy for the Grand Slam. It's just a thing that gets like noted in the record books. It's not like an actual recognized.
Let's put it this way: you can attach Grand Slam golfer. You know, you can attach that title to that golfer if they achieve the Grand Slam.
Okay. Well,
tell me this: Rory McIlroy wishes he won the Masters this year because if he did, he would have that legacy attached to his name.
I think the differentiating factor here is the fact that you can do it over a career in golf. Whereas, and this is why I think it's different, because Grand Slam golfer is talking about winning one of each of these separate things throughout your career. In horse racing, you can't say, well, I won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, and 2 years later I'm going to win whatever the hell the third one is.
Belmont
Stakes. It doesn't work that way. It's three events leading up to a particular award. So I think that's what separates it. I think it'd be more akin to, like, Also, what would be akin to?
Also, something else you got to remember is that this is the rule that has been established since the 1800s, since 1882.
The 1800s means, were stupid.
So that means if you were to do the change rule that you want, you're literally disregarding the hundreds of years.
I don't want to change the rule. I want to change the framing of it in that if they want to make it the Triple Crown and they want to make it a thing, it should be a thing. If they want it to remain
that
three...
That's a great sentence.
If they want it to be a thing, it should be a thing. If they want it to be three...
Michael Costanzo, 2024.
Hold on. There's a second part to the quote. If they want it to be three separate things, then it's three separate things. You can't be three separate things and also one giant thing. It's three separate things and three separate things, or three separate things leading up to one giant thing, in which case it's all one thing.
What is this happening, Costello? What the hell? That was the weirdest logic I've ever heard.
The point. I don't know.
Okay.
The point is, you can't go into a grocery store and say if something is three by three.
All right. I guess I just lost Mike's logic there. All right.
I'm done.
All right. There I'm you done. Go.
We got to get out of this segment.
I think that's a good way to end the sports sampler. Mike just gave up.
Oh, my God.
In the middle of that analysis. But to bring it back to full center, Justify wins the Kentucky Derby. We'll see if the inexperienced horse can win the Triple Crown this year. All right, Mike's about to break down, so I think we're going to have to take a break.
Oh, my God.
Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up next, we've got the entertainment entree. We're going to have the side dish with Vic DiPetetto. Can't wait to talk with him in just a few moments. And then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't you go anywhere. We still got plenty of more show still to come. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A woman who took donated clothes from a relative found $30,000 inside one of the hand-me-downs.
Wow. I never find that type of stuff in my pockets.
In the bag was cash that had been stuffed into envelopes and wrapped in layers of plastic bags. Carol told PhillyBurbs.com, I unwrapped the bag, and there was another bag in another bag in another bag. And that's where she found $30,000.
Wow.
That's like a bag within a bag?
Yeah.
Within another bag?
You know what that means. Bagception.
Bagception.
I just want to point out, that is incredible security.
Yes.
The more bags you have, the more secure it is.
Yeah, this is at least three layers of bags we're talking about.
I don't know how.
We're going three bags deep into this operation. And then on top of that, if you lose it, then you're in limb bag.
Oh, man. So, a bag within a bag.
Three bags deep, man. We're serious.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. We're going to talk with Vic DiPetetto in just a bit in our side dish. But first, we're going to go into the second part of the show. But before we do that, I just got to address something. Mike, you all right over there? Have you recovered from whatever you were trying to say earlier?
I have recovered.
Okay, good.
Are you going to address the elephant in the room?
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell you were talking about at the end of that sports scene.
Honestly, neither do I.
Okay, good. I wasn't the only one. You said thing a lot.
I did. I said thing quite a lot.
And I really hope you got it out of your system, because I'm going to actively try in this second part of the show. At least during the entertainment entree portion,
right.
If you say thing again one more time, I'm going to play this sound effect for you.
Am I wrong?
Wrong.
Yeah, so there you go. Don't make me have to press that button.
I'll try not to.
Okay.
I'm like nervous now because now I feel like I'll say that word all the time.
Okay. All right.
I'm not going to say what word, but that
what we
word.
Just said. Yes. Yep. There you go. Good job, Mike. now let's move on to the second part of the show where it's time to let you know what's going on in movies, TV, celebrities, video games. Time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
The latest
that was the leading genius of our generation.
Yeah, leave it to the man himself. Kanye West has put out a new song.
Poop diddy scoop.
No, the
poop
song,
diddy whoop to scoop.
The song is actually called "Lift Yourself."
What does scooping poop and whooping about scooping poop have to do with lifting yourself?
Well, I guess first you have to move the poop, and then you can lift yourself. I guess. I don't know.
That makes sense.
The point of this is that Kanye West made this new song and put it out there on iTunes and everything like that, and people just blindly bought it.
Oh, I bet.
And
I bet, because his name was attached to it.
Correct. And I can't believe people fell for this.
This is highly upsetting.
The song is only 2 minutes long.
Half of it was the poop thing.
And half of it is what you just heard, this lyrical genius of just going poop-de-scoop, whoop-de-scoop, poop-de-scoop.
Poop-de-scoop, scoop-de-de-whoop, whoop-de-scoop-de-poop, poop-de-scoop-de-scoop-de-whoop, whoop-de-scoop-whoop-poop, poop-de-de-whoop-scoop, poop, poop, scoop-de-de-whoop, whoop-de-de-scoop, whoop-de-de-scoop-poop.
Oh,
whoopity
man.
Scoop poop.
So inspirational.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, part of me thinks that Kanye is doing a whole grand social experiment to see, can he write the dumbest lyrics possible and still make a boatload of money off of idiots? The results to that social experiment are yes.
Yes.
Yes, he can.
I would like to think that it's part of some sort of evil grand plan, but I don't know. I don't think so. Coming from Kanye West, no.
The more likely option is I think that he just straight up gave up on that track.
Yeah. And just was like,
and
here
he's
you
like,
go.
Go buy it anyway.
Here, I found something dumb to say.
Poop diddy scoop whoop.
Poop scoop whoop.
Poop scoop whoop. That's what dog owners do.
Yeah.
Poop scoop whoop.
He should have He should have titled the song... me being a dog owner or something, you know, like it's
people
just,
will defend him too.
Right.
People
will probably
be online.
I love the
defending
fact,
him.
I love the fact he actually had the balls to call the song Lift Yourself. Like it was going to be some sort of inspirational rap song about getting over some difficulties in your life or something like that.
Nope.
No. Poop de scoop. Poop de scoop. Whoop. Poop,
I'm going to
poop de scoop. Whoop. Are you going to look for lyrics?
I did. I looked it up. It's poopy-de-scoop, scoop-diddy-whoop, whoop-de-scoop-de-poop, poop de scoop diddy, scoop de whoop, whoopity scoop, whoop poop, poop diddy, whoop scoop, poop poop, scoop diddy whoop diddy scoop, whoop diddy scoop poop.
Wow.
I'm just, Kanye.
Oh my gosh.
I'm Kanye West now.
The lyrical brilliance here. All right, so there you go. I had to bring that to it. Actually, you know who brought that to my attention?
What?
Bruno, our associate producer.
He loves Kanye, and he's been having a rough time because, you know, he's watching his crazy TMZ thing.
Am I wrong? Wrong.
I'm going to try and avoid it from here on out.
Okay.
But he was watching the whole TMZ situation. got myself nice. That time. And listening to the poop song, and he's going, I don't want Kanye to be crazy, but I think he is. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, the answer is he's always been crazy.
He's going, I really don't want him to be insane.
Yeah, he's always been crazy.
Yeah. Before the craziness would lead to actual, I actually liked some of Kanye's old stuff. I thought it was entertaining. But.
Now it's just getting
now annoying. It's, I think this is peak insanity.
Correct. I would agree with you. So there you go. Kanye West, the latest from his magical mind or whatever the hell you want to whatever you want to.
Poopity scoop.
Yeah.
Scoopity whoop.
Yeah.
Oh! I pity.
Yeah.
The youth of this country.
What was it in Ferris Bueller's Day Off? I weep for the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way I feel when I hear Kanye West.
Kids are going to look back. I shouldn't say kids, but like future generations are going to look back. And they're going to have entire classes devoted to the groundbreaking lyrical developments of Kanye West. And this is going to be an entire chapter, like an entire 2-week portion of the class where they talk about the cultural and political relevance of poop diddy scoop, scoop diddy whoop, poop, poop. You know it will.
Oh, good for you.
You know I'm right.
All right. Let me not think about that. And let's move forward into the entertainment entree. It's now time for the part where Mike is going to let us know not what's coming up 50 years from now, but what's coming up this weekend in terms of movies and video games and what we should keep an eye out for. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
I'm talking to you, kid. I'm going to make your mother go woo, woo, woo.
All right. Make your mother go woo, woo, woo.
That was the original Kanye.
Well, no, that was the king of smack talk.
King of whoops.
The king of whoops, Ric Flair.
I'm talking to you, kid. I'm going to make your mother go woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
Nope. Somebody should mash those two together and have it be Ric Flair say, I'm going to make your mother say poop to his school.
I'm talking to you, kid. I'm going to make your mother go woo, woo, woo.
All right. Well, we'll have to do that
later. I want you to get on that, Rich.
All right.
I think it's comedy gold. Anyway.
What do you have for us for this weekend?
I will tell you. This week in movies, we have Life of the Party hitting theaters this week. Melissa McCarthy is a longtime dedicated housewife who suddenly finds herself dumped by her husband. Determined not to let it drag her down, she turns it into an opportunity for personal growth to return to college and finish her degree. Unfortunately, she ends up attending the same school as her less-than-thrilled daughter, and she quickly dives headfirst into campus life. Looks like it could be a fun comedy for, mixed crowd. It's PG-13, so it's probably appropriate for a large range of people. Melissa McCarthy is very funny, accompanied by some other very funny people, Jillian Jacobs, Maya Rudolph, Julie Bowen. So go check this one out, Life of the Party, hitting theaters this week. In video games, we have two interesting games coming out. Tacoma gets a PlayStation 4 release this week. I've really been looking forward to this one. It's previously released on Xbox One and PC. This quote-unquote walking simulator sets players on a narrative-based adventure that takes them to a seemingly abandoned space station to discover what happened in the crew's final moments. It has generally favorable reviews, so anyone who's played this genre before is sure to enjoy the sci-fi setting and gripping personal tales of trust, fear, and resolve in the face of disaster. If instead you're looking for a little bit more action, go check out Conan Exiles, which is coming to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. This early access open world survival game gives players the chance to explore, build, survive, and fight in the prehistoric fantasy world of Conan the Barbarian. You could do that alone or with friends. It's been pretty big on the PC scene, and it's finally making its way to consoles, so go check out Conan Exiles coming out this week. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment this week in entertainment. Before we get to the side dish, one more thing that we want to update you guys on, and it has to do with 20th Century Fox and a possible buyout. What do you have for us, Mike?
Yeah, so a few weeks ago, we discussed a possible acquisition of the 20th Century Fox, the entertainment division of Fox, by none other than one of my favorite companies, Disney. But now reports are indicating that there could be another player in this huge acquisition deal. Comcast, the evil empire itself, is looking to prepare a quote-unquote all-cash bid of $60 billion in order to try and acquire 20th Century Fox.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
Yeah.
Yeah. So for people that might be unfamiliar with the original story, Disney is making a bid of about $52 billion to buy Fox, 20th Century Fox. It would give them control of all the entertainment stuff, you know, like the local Fox affiliates. It would also give them TV shows like The Simpsons and Family Guy, in addition to FX. And, of course, the most valuable aspect for them are the Marvel superheroes that Fox still controls, namely the Fantastic Four and X-Men. Comcast, meanwhile, is simply looking to derail Disney. There's a little known tidbit here that Comcast and Disney have had a lot of bad blood stemming from a failed takeover. Comcast had failed at a hostile takeover of Disney in 2004, and since then, Disney has been surging and Comcast has been Comcast.
Yeah.
They've grown in terms of finances.
That's a good way to put that.
But yeah. They've grown in terms of finances, but everybody really hates Comcast. And yeah. I say that as someone who has Comcast internet and TV. But, you know, since that point, the two have always battled over acquisitions. They, you know, had a tenuous thing going on with Hulu. And now Comcast is ready to try and go toe-to-toe with Disney again. Here's the kicker, though. Reports are saying that if Disney counters the $60 billion all-cash bid, Comcast is willing to go as high as $100 billion to outbid Disney to acquire all of Fox and UK broadcast company Sky. This is a monster deal, $100 billion for Fox and Sky. It's like crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Like Comcast is willing to throw down that type of cash just to outdo Disney.
This is why your cable rates are going up.
Exactly. They're like, congratulations, Comcast subscribers. We just bought Fox. Also, in other news, your Comcast bill is now $400 a month.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I will have to say there is one little caveat here that the deal is dependent upon the upcoming AT&T and Time Warner merger. That is currently with U.S. regulators to see whether it be an anti-competition issue. If that deal does pass, though, they're saying that Comcast is really considering making this play for Fox. The other issue is that this, you know, everybody is quick to point out online, well, Disney's no better than Comcast. Disney's also a huge media conglomerate. And yes, it is. But the problem here is that Comcast would own Universal and Fox, but it would also own the distribution methods, given the fact that it's an ISP and cable provider. So you have all this consolidation of content and distribution under one company. You see how Comcast gouges you now. Imagine it owning two of the major six movie producers. You know, it's kind of an unsettling thought.
Right, and it could pose a lot of conflict of interest.
Right, a lot of conflict of interest, a lot of pricing issues, you know. The more that they consolidate the market, we're looking at them approaching 50, you know, close to half of the television and movie market if this deal goes through. Not that, you know, Comcast isn't any smaller, not that Disney isn't any smaller than Comcast, but personally, I'd rather prefer Disney take over Fox than Comcast.
Why do you say that?
I say that because here's the thing. Disney is, yes, a huge corporation, and yes, they're all in it for the bottom dollar, but they've also given us three stellar Star Wars movies, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Pixar, and countless classics. What has Comcast given you that you can point to and say, yeah, I really enjoyed that? Nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing. They got into a pissing match with Netflix and forced Netflix to pay more so that Comcast subscribers watching Netflix wouldn't get degraded service. This is the type of thing Comcast spends its time and money on. Not on giving you quality Pixar and Marvel and Star Wars movies, but on finding ways to screw you over. So that's why I would prefer a takeover by Disney rather than Comcast. How do you feel,
yeah,
Rich? You seem to not have a horse in this race. You know, I'm a Comcast subscriber. I'm a huge Disney fan. What's this look like from an outsider?
Yeah. No, to me, it looks like I would rather have Disney because Comcast just represents just everything wrong with media, I think. I just feel like. I mean, just the way they gouge out people for cable prices, the way that they're trying to take over all of the news channels and everything like that, and how they want to control the ISPs because they know that that's really going to be the next battlefront.
Yeah,
is getting control of being an ISP and whether or not they can slow down internet speeds.
Yeah.
If you go to a non Comcast approved program or internet website.
I mean, we're really lucky in this area that we have lots of competition. We have AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, and what's the other one? Dish.
Yeah, or, Dish is the thing, yeah.
Or DirecTV, I can't remember.
DirecTV.
And DirecTV. There's some parts where they get Comcast and only Comcast.
Yep.
And they have data caps, and they have slower internet speeds, and I recently saw an article about Comcast boosting customer speeds, but not customers who don't also subscribe to cable. So
right,
only people who get cable and internet, they're targeting cord cutters.
Right.
So it's those types of underhanded practices, and right now the possible reversal of net neutrality that really worries me when we talk about this type of market consolidation under Comcast.
Yeah. So yeah, I would be more fearful that if Comcast gets 20th Century Fox than Disney.
Yeah. I realize this conversation got a lot more serious than I think we intended. But I mean, it's a big
headline.
When you endanger people's entertainment, it's a big headline. You know, people don't want to, you know, lose their favorite entertainment brands. And I think really that's what it comes down to is who do you think will usher Fox gracefully into still providing quality entertainment, Disney or Comcast? And you see what Disney's done with Lucasfilm, Marvel, Pixar. And you have to think Disney's got a better
track record.
Got a better track record, right. And Comcast has NBC and Universal. It's like, okay, yeah, that's fine. But,
yeah,
you know, it's not Marvel, Star Wars, and Pixar. It's just not. And ABC. So, you know, I hope Disney comes out on top. It's crazy. Are we like Hail Corporate America right now? I hope Disney comes out
Hail
on top
Mickey
of this acquisition.
Mouse.
Yeah, Hail Mickey Mouse. Well, I'm a huge
Hail me.
I'm a huge Disney fan.
Yeah.
So this doesn't bother me in the slightest. I know other people are looking at it and saying, oh, I don't want either of these things to happen.
But it looks like one of them has to happen, apparently.
Fox is going to be bought by somebody.
Right.
They're looking to sell. And, you know, I really hope that Disney ends up being the highest bidder.
All right. So there you go. That will wrap up the entertainment entree. But we still have room for more in this meal for your mind. So prepare for a side dish. Woo! Side dish! Yeah! So the side dish is essentially a segment of the show that doesn't necessarily fit into sports, entertainment, or news. It just can stand out on its own. And I think it's appropriate for this, because we are going to have a special guest on the phones. Yeah, that's right. We got the phone lines ringing because we have a special guest on the show. He is one of the funniest comedians out there as far as I'm concerned. He does all these ridiculous YouTube videos and Twitter posts ranging from Ticked Off Vic to Andy Man to Tony Gaga and just all these other crazy characters. He'll be coming to Philly very shortly, June 2nd, a Saturday night at 9 p.m. at Sugar House Casino. Group tickets are sold out, but there are a few single tickets that remain. And then later on in the year, he will be coming back at Galdo's Catering in South Philadelphia. Folks, on the line right now, we have Vic DiBattista on the line. Let's go to him right now. Hey, Vic, how you doing?
Hey, Rich, thanks for having me.
Hey, man, good to hear from you again.
My pleasure.
So, Vic, man, it's been a while since we heard from you. How's everything going, man?
I can't complain. I got a following. It's almost like a cult following. I pinch myself every morning. I never thought to this point, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous because we had scheduled this interview because we wanted to plug your appearance over at Sugar House Casino, and I've officially been told that group tickets are sold out. You are selling out Sugar House Casino.
So is the Borgata. It sold out months ago. It's beautiful. I love it.
So, I mean, it's a testament to how well you craft your comedy and how well you present yourself online. I love following you on Twitter. Recently, I feel like your videos have just exploded. The first one that I want to talk about right off the top of my head is the one about the coffee, because
right.
I am with you 100%. Things were fine when it was just a coffee pot. All right. Everybody
right.
was happy. You know, you had the community coffee pot. You got together. You know, it was like a communal thing. Now with K cups and L cups, and there's other different kinds of cups, which ones will work for Keurig, which ones work for other manufacturers. It made something that was like something that didn't have to be complicated, unnecessarily complicated. And that video was just amazing. And that went viral. That went everywhere. How did you get the idea for that one? Was that just you looking at like Lucy's setup and you just like went berserk?
Well, first of all, the Keurigs are never hot enough for me. And I always tell her, what happened to the old Farberware? That was my favorite. You plucked it in and it was lava hot. My coffee's got to be hot. And Keurig doesn't really always come hot. We've been through 3-4 of them already. You know, I'm like, just do me a favor. I got a fire pit in the back. I'm tempted to go like the cowboys used to do in the old days. You know, those old coffee pots. And plus, coffee, a lot of people love coffee. That's why it resonated. It did so well. Everybody loves, you know, coffee, man. It's the number one beverage in this country.
Yes. And that video just went viral. I remember I actually saw the video first because I think it was like BuzzFeed or something shared the video.
Yes.
I was like, oh, my gosh.
They put the subtitles, so it's hilarious the way they did it.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is...
Like you can't hear... Like, you need subtitles to hear me. Come on.
Yeah, even if you have the mute on, I think I can still hear you, Vic. But that's the kind
right.
of person you
plus
are.
Plus, I'm from New York, and I say coffee. So people got a kick out of that, too.
That's all right. That's you know, just that typical Northeast accent, you know.
Right.
You know, we have it like a very light version of it. So, you know, we'll let it slide.
People here say water.
You know, growing up as a kid, your parents are always, you know, my mother was always, anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? It's just so universal, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I got
people are very passionate about their coffee. Yeah. Rich in particular is very passionate about his
yep.
coffee.
Right. It's something
absolutely.
That strikes a nerve. And,
yeah.
and you just hit upon it perfectly in that video. It didn't surprise me. It went viral.
And I did another one where I go outside and my neighbors are coming out of their houses. A guy pulls up from the street, and I pour him a cup, I got the extension cord coming from the, you know, it's hilarious, you know?
Yeah.
I did one a couple of days ago. I'm in somebody else's kitchen, and you can hear the guy's got a southern accent. What are you doing in my house? Coffee. What the hell is coffee? It's become like a series now.
Yeah. And that's a testament to how well you craft these videos because, yeah, I feel like now you have, like, recurring segments. You've got the coffee thing. You've got Ticked Off Vic, which we've talked about before. The new thing that I love is you've been doing Andy Mann, which is...
Yep.
Yeah, which is... you've been doing these interviews with these... handyman and construction people and renovation people that are working on your house. And I mean,
right.
that is amazing that you took something as just like normal, ordinary guys just working on your house.
Exactly.
And you're taking it and you're transforming it into an actual like YouTube series. And I love every minute of
it. Right. And I know nothing about construction. So I figured, let me be the idiot. And I tell these guys, just... whatever I say is going to be wrong. Just correct me. And towards the end, start getting annoyed, you know? And like you said, you know, I'm sitting there watching these guys. This is funny stuff here. Let me see what I could do. So I came up with this name instead of Handyman, Andy Mann. And it just, you know, that's another dimension. Then Ticked Off Vic. Then I got that guy, the old man who doesn't talk. He just walks around. It's just phenomenal what's going on. I'm just enjoying it. The social media, man, I'd be nowhere without the social media.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, a lot of people think social media, they think kind of like our generation, younger, stuff like that. But you
right.
are owning it out there between the YouTube videos, the tweets you're making. I mean, it's just it's hilarious content you keep making. One of the things that I have to mention from your Twitter post that recently happened was – you simply tweeted, because you're a big Yankees fan, you simply tweeted, I hope Verlander gets diarrhea, a rival pitcher.
And he answered me. Do yeah. you believe it?
Right. You're getting actual attention now from Major League Baseball players.
You know, and then I thanked him. I said, look, thank you for answering, and thank you for being a good sport. You know, I got Michael Kay from the Yankee announcer, he follows me. Carl Banks from the Giants follows me. A lot of people are watching, you know?
Yeah.
It's really interesting what's going on. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's you've really made it far, and it's just great to see your success. And I can't help but just laugh every time something like this pops up. And you know what it is? It's like these posts and these videos are getting featured on, like, BuzzFeed, Gawker, Deadspin. And it's like, oh, my gosh, it's Vic. He's made it out
yes,
there.
Yes, and... I don't know if you ever heard of the show Right This Minute.
Oh, yes.
Like the fourth. I did a TikTok thing about the schools that are changing the clocks.
Oh,
that's going
yeah.
crazy. Right This Minute is going to feature it next week. This is like the fourth time. It's like I'm almost a regular on this show. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Let me just set the stage for everybody. I don't think Mike knows about this.
Yeah, no, I'm not familiar with this.
There's certain schools that are going to get rid of the old way of telling time because the majority of kids can't read the minute and the hour hand and
so
tell time.
What do they do? Put in digital clocks?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, they're putting digital.
Or they could teach their students how to tell time. That's one
exactly.
possibility.
Like, you know, I say when kids they don't know how to drive, but we teach them how to drive, don't we? Don't we? I mean,
and that's a lot harder than telling time.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's an absolute.
You know,
ridiculous.
if the big hand is on the 11 and the little hand is on the one, that means it's 5-1. What's so odd about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That is, you could have done 8 videos on you know, Ticked Off Vic on that alone, because that's just a sign
yep.
of just like the.
Well, it's going crazy right now. It reached over 1 million posts reached on Facebook.
Wow.
A million.
Yeah.
I got another one over 1 million. If you put all my videos all together, it's just millions and millions of views. Well, you know, I'm doing it since 2010.
Yeah.
I got a playlist on my YouTube channel, and people now, they're starting to binge watch. They said, I had the flu, I just sat for 2 hours and watched some of your videos. It's just incredible.
I would believe it. That's something I would do if I was sick, yeah. man, because you just provide just hilarious content all the time. And it's just, it's always great to see what you're up to
and
on Twitter and YouTube.
And it's free.
And it's free.
It's free.
That is true. So that's...
No comic is doing what I'm doing. And, you know, what annoys me, how nobody in, you know, in TV or movies has a light bulb light up. The following I have, you know what I would do in a sitcom, the numbers I would, the ratings they would get?
Yes.
It's just, I don't know. I really can't figure that part out. You know, it's insane. It's a crazy business.
It is, but yeah, I think we'll go on the stump for you if anybody asks, because we just love to hear from you and we love to feature your content and share it because it's hilarious. And speaking of,
thank you.
And speaking of things where you do quote unquote free things for the fans, here's something else that you've just started up that's relatively new is you do a new feature called 30 Seconds with Vic on Facebook Live.
Yep,
where you
I call my fans.
Yeah.
I call my fans.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Right.
Nobody.
Yeah, that's completely unheard of right now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But you pull it off and you just do it so well. It's great. And people are actually shocked when you actually call them.
Yes. They're either shocked or they're stupid. They don't pick it up. Because I tell them, my number comes up caller ID unknown. No way am I putting my number out there. I'd be an idiot to do that.
Right.
I tell them after 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, if you look in your cell phone and it says caller ID unknown, it's most likely me. Pick it up. You know, most people do, some don't. You know, then I got an answering machine one day, and they had a copyrighted music, and Facebook put me in jail. So now when I hear I get an answering machine, I just hang up.
Aww.
I can't do that. They got to answer.
Isn't that weird? Just like a weird society thing that we all have to accept now. Like you had no direct interest in playing copyrighted music, but because somebody put it as
exactly.
their
exactly,
yeah. This is why exactly. we can't have nice things.
Facebook is crazy, but meanwhile they got videos of people hitting animals. I don't get it. You know, it's crazy.
But you know what? You still plug away and you still try and do these 30 seconds with Vic. It's almost like every other day. You do it fairly often, too. It's not like once
yes.
a week or once a month.
I got a crazy schedule. You know, the weekends I'm booked. Sometimes I go away. I do it whenever I can. And I let them know. There's no comedian out there that keeps in touch with his fans like I do. And I do a meet and greet after every show. I stay there till every hand is shaken, every picture is taken. Most headliners, after they go on, they get in their car, they go in the green room, they don't want to bother with the audience. It comes back to you when you're nice to your fans.
Yeah, it's good karma that comes around. And believe me, the audience and the fans know, because that's why we like you, Vic, and that's why I always love having you on. And whenever you come to Philly, I want to know when, where, and how can I get him back on the podcast. Which brings us to the fact you're performing at Sugar House Casino Saturday, June 2nd. At 9 p.m. And I got to say, I want to bring this up because one of the biggest fans who I just turned on to your comedy is, no joke, my mom. And
that's so cute.
This is an absolute 100% true story. When I got like the press release that Vic's coming to Sugar House Casino and everything like that, you know, I was on my laptop. I happened to mention it. I'm like, I shot an email to your manager. I'm like, let's see if we can do something together. I just happened to just like off the top of my head. And my mom dropped. She was cooking like a plate of peppers. She's an Italian mother, by the way. She happened to be like cooking like peppers or something. She was about to throw peppers into the pan. She dropped the peppers and just turned to me and, said, get me tickets. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I got.
Was she making peppers and eggs? Probably making peppers and eggs.
Right, yeah, you know, good old Italian breakfast to start the morning. Immediately
God.
Went out, got tickets. So, yeah, my mom is going to be there for you at this date.
Where? What show? What show?
The Sugar House Casino one, Saturday.
Well, tell her to come to the meet and greet.
All right. There you go. You can meet my mom if you want. But she's
your
newest fan.
You know, the last few shows, I'm noticing a wide range. I'm getting the young kids, I'm getting people my age and senior citizens. It's really interesting what's going on. I got a huge range of age groups that see me.
Yeah, and you know what I think that's a testament to? I think that's just a testament to the fact that you're just honest about where you're coming from and what pisses you off and everything like that. You're not putting on a facade or anything fake. That I think that's when you can tell when, you know, if there's a celebrity that's putting on something that's obviously just not them or not real, the older generations see it and tune off to that. But you're just real, and you wear your emotions on your sleeve, and I think that's something every generation just sees, and it's just like, I want to see this guy. I want to see, like, yep, what he's going to blow up on next, and it turns into, let's see him live, you know? So that's what I think it's a testament to.
And it's really getting to a point now where I'm on stage, and I'll hear people yelling out lines from my videos. I mean, it's a compliment, but sometimes it throws me off. You know, I start cracking up. It's like I created Frankenstein monsters. It's you know, they're yelling out taglines for my act. My stand-up is entirely different than my vignettes. It's two different things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. I have different dimensions, you know? It is the stand-up, the vignettes, 30 seconds with Vic, the meet and greets. I'm not one-dimensional, you know?
No, and we can see the work that you're putting in online and with your show and everything like that. And it's great to see you just doing so well with the stand up and the tour that you're on and everything. I mean, now this is going to sound like I'm old or something, but I remember when I first heard about
you. Can't be older than me. You can't be older than me.
That's true. But I remember when you first did Bread and Milk and everything, I saw you did like a show in Jersey, a show in New York, and it would be spread out. Now I see your schedule. I'm like, oh my gosh,
yep,
this is like a full blown tour. You're doing three shows in North Carolina. You're doing shows in Florida. You're all over the place.
California. I'm going to Sacramento, San Francisco. It's just, you know, I got a great manager. Russell is a great guy. I know him a long time. Our story is just beautiful. I mean, here's a guy that took me to the night. He sat me and my wife down, and he said, you don't need to be driving a school bus anymore. And we sacrificed two salaries. And we went to bed that night, and we looked at each other like, what the hell did we do? But, you know, you got to sacrifice. And these past 4 years have been incredible. And, you know, we still got a long way to go. You know, there's parts of this country having a clue who the hell I am. You know, the Northeast, it's a lock. You know, New England, Jersey, New York. Well, Florida is New York South. But that's, you know, Chicago. You know, it's just...
I never thought about that. Yeah, it is
yeah,
kind
oh,
of
yeah.
New York
well,
South.
People say, oh, you're doing Florida. That's where everybody from New York is from, Florida. But, you know, I'm interested in California. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how I draw out there. I'm, you know, I'm a little nervous, but we got to put the feelers out, and we got to forge ahead.
Right, and I think you're doing it as perfectly as a stand-up comedian can, I think. Speaking of regions, another thing that I absolutely love recently on your YouTube video this past year, and I got to admit, it's because we're from Philadelphia and we're Eagles fans. But last year, your whole Giants locker room segments was hysterical. And it got to the point where I know we're Eagles fans here, but I wanted the Giants to lose, not because I was an Eagles fan. I wanted to see how worse Vic was going to take each loss. Because what was it? They had started off with five or six losses in a row.
Oh, my God. It was a horror.
Yeah. Every consecutive loss, you got angrier and angrier, and you went more and more into just sheer madness. And it was great,
you know,
comedy.
Same thing with the Yankees. You know, well, now they're doing great, but, you know, a couple of years ago, and I said, unfortunately, the worse the Yankees and Giants play, the funnier these videos are.
Yeah, it's almost kind of counterintuitive because you're big fans of those franchises.
What would you prefer more, for them to suck so you can make more funny videos or for them to do well?
Oh, God, you know, for them to do well, yeah.
Yeah, you still want them to do well, of course. Yeah. But
I'm a true fan.
fair enough. But man, those videos were just great. Just and the Giants were losing in like dumb ways too.
Now you're just rubbing it in.
Sorry.
Rich.
Yep. I'm sorry, but those videos were amazing.
I'm sorry. Hey, you guys deserved it. You know, you're a great. The Eagles are a great team, and I always say, you know, some people get. It's getting to a point with sports. It's almost as bad as politics when you talk on the social media. People get crazy, man.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, folks, this is entertainment. I'm not. Some lady writes. Is he really talking to the Yankees? Yeah, they're in my garage.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really the manager. I tell you, boy, 1% of this country is really scary.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, the whole Yankees get on the bus and they come to Big D Potato's house for their weekly meeting.
It's crazy, man. People, it's a different. You know, I come from a different time. I read some comments. I'm like, dude, meet me outside in front of my house, you know, instead of this keypad warrior nonsense.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, internet tough people. That's yep. All they are.
Oh my god.
So one more thing that I would like to ask you, where do you think the future holds at this point? Because you're expanding everything. You've got all these series going. I mean, is the plan to just keep going at full force? Is the plan maybe to try something new? What else is in the
work? Me and my manager, I want to work less for more money.
That's a good goal. Yep.
You know, sometimes I do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, two shows Friday, two shows, and you can hear my voice now. You know, it's a big strain on my voice because when I'm on stage, I'm a lunatic. I scream. Yes. I, you know, the blood is flowing. The spit is flying. I would like to get to the point where I could do like a couple of theaters a month, you know, instead of five shows in a week. I think I got that good enough following where I could do that. You know, the stand-up is a given. Look at Rickles. He did it till he was 90. I'll be doing stand-up till the day I die. I love it. I have a passion for it. I would love to do movies, you know, acting, TV, whether it's a sitcom or reality, anything. You know, but if everything stays the way it is, I'm happy. I'm paying my bills. I'm not breaking my ass. I'm not driving a school bus.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
life
true.
Is good. Everything else would be a bonus at this point.
Well, I hope all that comes to you because you're definitely one of the few comics that I think definitely deserves it. I mean, you're just one of those comics that's always out there, and it's always good to hear that you're coming to Philadelphia. I get excited. I want to like clear off my calendar whenever you get a date here in the area.
I'm also coming to Galdo's in South Philly.
Right. That's later in the year.
Yeah.
Okay. So there
you
go.
That's a great venue. It's a catering hall. They do a great job. They really, Lou Galdo really does a great job.
Yeah, that's right by the stadiums, right in South Philly, Galdo's.
Yeah, it's right under the highway there. It's right under the highway.
Right. So I guess for those that maybe might have waited a little too late on the Sugar House Casino tickets, you'll be at Galdo's later on in the year.
Yeah.
But man, it's always a blast when I get to see you in person. The last time, well, we were at the Raz Room one. That's right. We were at the one at the Raz Room.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Oh,
that
was a good one.
I was falling out of my chair laughing at that show. That was just hilarious. And, that's indicative of what kind of show you put on. So
yes,
I encourage everybody out there who's listening, check out Vic DiPotato, VicDiPotato.net. Very few single tickets remain for the Sugar House Casino appearance. If you can't make it to that one, check out the one at Galdo's later on in the year. Vic, it's always good to have you on, man.
Thank you. Pleasure. The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, Rich. Okay, Mike. Take care, buddy.
Thank you.
See you later, Vic.
See
you.
Have a great night, guys.
You too.
You too.
Oh man, it's always a pleasure to talk to Vic. I'm always happy when I get like the confirmation email that we're confirmed and locked in to talk to Vic because he is just one of those comedians I enjoy chatting with, and he deserves every bit of the success that's coming his way.
Absolutely, very funny, very down to earth guy. Everybody, definitely go check out his performance if you can. Saturday, June 2nd at 9 p.m. at the Sugar House Casino.
Yeah. And if not, you got Galdo's Catering later on in the year as well. Make sure to go to his website, VicDiPotato.net, for all of his dates. That's going to wrap it up for us for this second part of the show. Coming up next, we got the non-fortune cookie odd news. I got some crazy stories that you need to listen to. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Man, I gotta say it again. It's always good to talk to Vic. He's just one of those comedians I just love to see in town. And he just deserves all the success coming his way. I'm just so happy he's made it. And he's just an all-around great guy.
Yeah.
And very funny, too.
Yep.
So, once again, he will be playing at Sugar House Casino. June 2nd, 9 p.m. Single tickets only remain. So if you want to go, I suggest that you open up another tab right now and secure those tickets because they are going fast right now. And he'll be playing Galdo's Catering later on in the year as well. So a couple of opportunities to see Vic DiPotato. All right, now it's time to get into the third and final portion of the show where I have a batch of odd news that I think you need to hear. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news. He reads the news. And I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started on another crazy adventure. Rich, where are we going to first in the odd news?
Let's see. I got a couple.
It's a tough decision. It's a tough choice.
Yeah, I got a couple of choices here that I could do. Let's go to Omaha, Nebraska for the first
one.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah, because this
Nebraska is not really a state that many people go to.
Right. And this is a medical oddity, and I know you like these stories.
Okay, yeah.
So we're in Omaha, Nebraska. When Kendra Jackson first got a runny nose, she thought it was just a symptom of a cold. But
right.
It continued for weeks, months, and eventually years, along with other symptoms, including coughing, sneezing, and headaches.
Oh, my God.
She said that, quote, everywhere I went, I always had a box of Puffs. That's a brand of napkins. Always stuffed in my pocket.
Wouldn't your nose, like, I know if I have a really bad cold or allergies, and I'm constantly blowing my nose or wiping my nose,
it gets like sore after a while. Wouldn't her nose just be like rubbed raw? Oh my God, that sounds like torture.
She said that, quote, her runny nose became like a waterfall. It was continuous. What? Doctors told her that it was probably a severe reaction to allergies, but she knew that something was more wrong than that.
Yeah.
When she was finally taken into the ER, she had her answer. It was confirmed that the fluid that was coming from her nose was not mucus, but an actual brain fluid leak. Oh.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Like go from a runny nose to brain fluid leaking. That's really alarming.
Jackson.
And it just keeps... It just keeps coming out.
Right.
For years.
Jackson was officially diagnosed with, quote, a cerebrospinal fluid leak.
Oh.
Try saying that five times fast. A cerebral spinal fluid leak. And she obviously had to post on her Facebook, quote, I had fluid from my brain that was leaking out of my nose.
Oh, my God. That sounds awful.
Luckily, though, Dr. Christy Barnes and the team were able to act on the diagnosis. They were tracking her leakage and found that she was losing almost a half pint of cerebral spinal fluid per day.
That's a lot of liquid.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
How?
I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
what was your question?
I was going to ask, what is it called?
Cerebrospinal fluid.
I want to know how much cerebrospinal fluid the body has.
Well, apparently enough that you can lose a half pint per day.
We're having breaking news here. Why does this happen? If you're going to come on the podcast, you have to talk into a microphone. We have breaking news here from Mike's mom. All right, breaking news on the scene. Mrs. Costanzo, what's up?
As I overheard you talk about this leakage, the cerebro fluid secret, I just want to let you know that we actually know someone who had the same exact condition.
Whoa.
Really?
Yes, your father's boss, his cousin.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. He suffered from headaches and all this constant oozing from his nose.
Oh.
And that's when they finally diagnosed it as such.
Yeah, but this person had it for years.
Well, I don't know how long he had it, but I think they caught it early on. But it's really serious.
It sounds serious.
It is.
How much was this person leaking out of their nose? It was like a liter.
A half a pint, according to the news report that I have here.
That seems like a lot.
That is a lot. That is a lot. But any kind, and that's why I kept excruciating headaches, vision, I mean, everything. And I heard you talking, thinking, oh my gosh, we know somebody who had that.
You ran back downstairs.
Didn't you know? Sure, of course. Because there you go. You know someone. Don't be surprised.
Oh, there you go.
So apparently this hits closer to home than you thought.
Yeah. I love the fact that my mom is now our medical correspondent.
Yeah, medical expert Rosa Costanzo.
Every time we have medical stories, we're going to call her up and be like, Mom, what do you got to say about this? Who do we know that had this weird medical abnormality?
And what did they do?
Wow. So I know the person she's referring to.
There you go. Breaking news on the scene there.
I can't top that. Nothing I can say can top that.
So I can tell you how they fixed the problem up.
Stitch it up? Like, how do you fix that?
Dr. Christy Barnes and her team had to go in through Jackson's nose using angled cameras and instruments, then used fatty tissue to plug up the hole that was in between her skull and her nostrils that allowed the leak. Wow.
Oh, this just sounds bad.
If it goes through your skull, that's a really, like... That's a really weird abnormality.
How does this happen? That's what I want to know. Like, how do you come by an injury that causes that to occur?
Well, here you go. Jackson notes that a year ago she suffered minor head trauma in a 2013 car accident. During the car accident, she hit her face on the dashboard.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yep. She says that, quote, she felt like a zombie before the procedure was done. But now she says that she does not have the problems anymore. She doesn't have to carry around tissues anymore. And she's actually getting sleep.
That's good to know.
She's now cured and has not experienced any fluid dripping from her nose anymore. So, yeah, she's now fixed.
I'm researching it. And I should not be researching it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like looking. So I'm looking at not like an actual picture of it, but like the Wikipedia picture of it. Like a nice little cross-section diagram. And it's the stuff that's like around your brain.
Right.
So that liquid is leaking. And I found some alarming statistics here about how much the body has. So it has about 125 milliliters of cerebrospinal fluid at any one time. And about 500 milliliters is generated every day. Now you want to know what's alarming about that. Well, how much liquid did you say this person was losing?
She was losing, it was, I think, a half a pint or something.
Half a pint?
Yeah, half a pint.
500 milliliters is only one pint. She's losing half of her cerebral spinal fluid that her body is producing every day.
Yeah.
That's an alarming amount.
And it was just going through her nose.
Yeah. Oh, this is a very upsetting story, Rich.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Yeah, so not a runny nose.
So you see that? If you have a runny nose that lasts for more than, like, 2 weeks, go to your doctor. You might be leaking brain juice.
Yeah, not a good diagnosis, but
you don't want to leak brain juice. Look, as many brain cells as we kill every day, we can't afford to lose anything else from our brains, okay?
Yeah.
We got to keep it all up there.
Right. And if it does happen to you, let us know. And that way,
we'll have you on with my mom and right. We can have like a weird medical consultation podcast for some
right.
reason.
Mrs. Costanza will help diagnose you.
My mom thinks she's a doctor.
Does
anybody else have that with their mom?
I think all Italian mothers think they're doctors.
Like something will happen. It doesn't matter what it is or what part of the body. She's like, oh yeah, I know all about that. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
What school did you go to?
You watch CSI. You are not a doctor.
Yeah. I've seen this episode of CSI before.
I've seen this before.
I've seen this on Grey's Anatomy.
I've watched this episode. I know exactly what's happening.
Son, back in the 90s, we had ER. We know how to deal with medical emergencies.
And she loves those shows. She probably knows more than the standard person about medical issues. But, yeah, it's just funny. And she did prove that she does know something about it.
Yeah.
She came down here and talked about it.
She knew what cerebrospinal fluid leaks were. So there you go.
I just have to paint a picture for people. It was really funny because we're talking about the story. I look over and she's just standing there.
Yeah.
At the corner of the table, just like waiting patiently
right.
to talk to us.
So she definitely
she came out
to
of
say
nowhere.
Something. I knew that. So there we go. But there you go. First story on our list here. Let's do another one. Going to New Jersey in our next story.
Okay. Good old Joysy.
Yep. This is more northern New Jersey.
Oh.
Police in New Jersey said that, quote, a mystery pooper who was
Why?
Responsible
Why?
For repeatedly leaving human feces on a high school's field Aww. Was identified recently.
These bars. Watch this. Go. Boop-dee-dee-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop. Poop-dee-scoop-dee-scoop-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-whoop-poop. Poop dee dee whoop scoop, poop, poop, scoop dee dee whoop, whoop dee dee scoop, whoop dee dee scoop poop.
I love the part where he goes poop,
poop,
poop.
You gotta enjoy that poop.
It was Kanye, wasn't it? I knew it.
Nope. It turned out that it was a nearby school superintendent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Wrong. 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 Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Man, Superintendent Chalmers is really taking things to the next level.
The Holmdel Township Police Department said that high school staff were finding, quote, fresh piles of poop on a daily basis in the area surrounding the facility's football and track fields.
Oh, that's awful. Come on, man. It's kids. It's a high school.
The school resource officer and school staff then decided to monitor the area. at which point they were able to identify the mystery pooper as 42-year-old Thomas Tramaginli, who is the superintendent.
What was that name again, Rich?
Tramaginli, I think. I don't know, whatever.
It's a new name every time.
I hate you, Mike. Anyway, he is the superintendent of the Kenilworth School District.
Wow.
A rival district of Holmdale High School.
Bars. Boopy dee scoop. Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee scoop dee poop. Poop dee scoop dee. Scoop dee whoop. Whoopy dee scoop whoop poop. Poop dee dee whoop scoop. Poop. Poop. Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee dee scoop. Whoop dee dee scoop poop.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You can't be a 42-year-old superintendent and be pooping on fields. That's just messed up. What's that teaching the students of your school? Just poop on whatever rival school's field you want to?
Yeah, as long as they're not ours.
Also, I love the idea that this, like, professional, okay? This is a 40-year-old dude, probably in a suit, probably carrying a briefcase. Why? I don't know.
That's, superintendent, yeah.
Right, that's just what you think. That's the image that you
that's
conjure.
That's fairly high up.
Right. But that's the image that you conjure when you think superintendent. You think full suit, briefcase, just walks out on a football field, drops his trousers, just blasts a dookie right there. I mean, come yep. on. That's like, that's not what normal, well-adjusted professionals do. This isn't some coked out crazy person in Florida. This is a school superintendent.
In New Jersey.
He's responsible for managing the education of numerous schools throughout a county. And he's just like, I'm going to take a dump here.
Yeah, take that. Take that, Holmdale High.
Yeah. I never understood high school rivalries to begin with. It's a matter of geography. It's like, it's so strange. I don't get it. I was never one to... Like, the point that I'm making is how could you muster that type of rivalry with somebody that your superintendent is crapping on their sport fields? Like, it's just insane. Like, it's just high school. Like, I don't know. Was there some other element here at play? Was he scorned by Holmdale?
Maybe when he was a kid or something.
When he was a kid, they just gave him a terrible education, or his lunches were always cold. And he's like, well, I'm a superintendent now. I can do whatever I want.
Payback's a bitch.
Right. Payback is best served, like, in a steaming pile.
According to the educational board, they said that, quote, we learned of municipal court charges facing our current superintendent of schools in northern New Jersey. He was granted a leave of absence.
Granted a leave of absence. He should just be fired.
Yeah. The district said that Director of Academics Brian Luciani will step in for Tramaginli, who has served as superintendent since 2015. Tramaginli faces charges of defecating in public, lewdness, and littering.
Littering.
Yeah, it is littering.
Well, it is.
So, yeah, he's going to have some charges to face.
Oh, you know what I just thought of?
What?
The worst part of the story. They didn't say they found any toilet paper, did they?
No.
I didn't want to go there. But when they were listing, when you said littering, it made me think of like, oh, littering, like throwing out trash. And I was like, wait, they didn't mention they found any toilet paper. That means that he didn't scoop the poop.
Poopy dee scoop. Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee scoop dee poop. Poop dee scoop dee. Scoop dee whoop. Whoopy dee scoop whoop poop. Poop dee dee whoop scoop. Poop. Poop. Scoop dee dee whoop. Whoop dee dee scoop. Whoop dee dee scoop poop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have listened to more Kanye.
Or listen to more of us, because if you want to get away with something in the odd news, it might help to listen to our segments, because we always have a couple of stories from Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy. Yep, they got the brightest criminals down there in Florida,
yeah,
right?
Gotta have something from Florida on every odd news segment here. And the first one has to do with NFL football news.
Hey, this is something I know.
Yeah, right? Get excited, Mike.
All right, let's do it. What is it? Is it good NFL stuff?
Well, we're now after, we're now post NFL draft.
Right, right.
One man wasn't happy with the picks that Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys made in NFL draft, in particular because the team did not sign him. Police were called to the Florida home of 26-year-old Keon Reed after he threatened Cowboys employees because they never drafted him.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Yeah, how dare they?
Okay. Sounds like they did you a favor, buddy. I wouldn't be too upset. How can you reasonably get mad at a pro football team for not drafting you? Most teams start with 7 picks, okay? And you just expect you're going to be one of the 7 people that team drafts. Come on now. Be realistic, buddy.
Police and a SWAT team had to be sent to Reed's home.
Yikes.
After a Cowboys employee reported his threatening calls, a police report said that, quote, he was making threats to harm Dallas Cowboys employees if the Cowboys didn't draft him at the NFL draft this year.
What? That is insanity. Oh, they're definitely going to draft. Well, this guy, he just threatened to kill me, my entire family. But I think he offers something in terms of edge rushing. I think we should give him a shot.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Don't you know that's a way to win people over? Threaten to murder them and their family. That makes perfect sense to me. Important question, though. What position does he play? Is he, like, a good position? Like, is it a position they need?
Defensive end.
Okay, that might be helpful. Wow, I was right about the edge rushing.
Yes, you were. That's oddly specific.
He's bringing a lot of pressure on the edge.
A lot of pressure. He admitted to police that he did call Cowboys employees.
Don't admit to that.
Because
this guy's stupid.
Because, quote, he was frustrated that they wouldn't show him the real money he deserved.
What?
Nor did they draft him in the NFL draft this year.
No! Because you done goofed.
Maybe it's because you're 26 and making active threats against them.
Yeah.
Okay? They're probably going to go with the 21-year-old who's not threatening to harm them.
When a Cowboys representative said that they weren't going to consider him for the draft, Reed told him that, quote, I'm going to screw all of your wives.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Wow. That's a... Yeah.
I'll never understand these people that go from 0 to 11. Like, it's not like, well, could you think about, you know, reconsidering or how about undrafted free agency? Nope. He went straight from draft me to I'm going to screw your wife.
Yeah.
Your wives.
All of them.
All of them.
All of them.
That's a lot of wives
he's gonna
be screwing.
He's going to make a list of all the Cowboys employees.
He's going to check it twice.
And he's going to find out
who's
where
been naughty or not.
Right. And, you know, where he can bang them all.
Yeah.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I just have so many problems with this.
Reed, who is a former defensive end, last played football in 2012 for the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. He's had 2 previous run-ins with the law since then, and his football career seems to be at an end.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. So let me get this straight. He last played football 6 years ago.
Correct.
He's 26 years old. Okay. Most people enter the NFL 21, 22. And he's threatening to assault
all of the wives.
All of the wives of the Dallas Cowboys personnel.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
That's a winning formula. I don't see how the Cowboys didn't take him.
Yeah. A legacy of Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
Pride.
Well, I mean, to be realistic, the Cowboys do typically invite that type of person onto their team. So
yeah, that's
right. He would have fit right in.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, he thought he could make it.
You got to admire his determination.
Yeah, he's a real go-getter.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to bang everybody's wife if I don't get on this team.
What a moron.
Watch out, Mrs. Jones.
Mrs. Jones?
Oh, man.
Yeah, so there you go. Real story. Florida man trying to join the Dallas Cowboys. Interesting.
The two most hated places in the U.S. Florida and the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys isn't a place. It's a team.
All right. I got another Florida odd news story here for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, and this one's funny to think about. A 66-year-old Florida woman went to jail on a charge of misdemeanor battery domestic violence after a wine and tomato throwing argument with her husband was started over a simple ear of corn.
Pop the corn, pop, pop the corn, pop the corn, pop, pop the corn.
Yep.
I love that song.
According to the arrest report, Vero Beach's Pamela and Kenneth Woodman each told a county sheriff's deputy that Thursday's fight started during dinner on the patio of their home. As the conversation during dinner turned to the price of vegetables, Pamela said that she bagged 6 ears of corn instead of 5 at the local grocery store, knowing that she'd only be charged $2 at the $2 rate for 5. This slight of corn struck Kenneth as thievery and told Pamela that she was morally wrong. Pamela then blamed it all on the clerk that she didn't count the corn. Kenneth then called her a thief and a liar. Pamela then slammed down her wine glass, breaking the stem, threw the glass at Kenneth, and then a food fight broke out.
Oh, my God.
Shuck the corn. Shuck, shuck the corn. Pop the corn. Pop, pop the corn. Pop the corn. Pop, pop the corn.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Literally. Just over one ear of corn.
And you know what? When you said it was over an ear of corn, I thought maybe they were eating dinner. There was only like one ear of corn, or maybe it was like the last one. And they're like, I want it. No, I want it. I thought it was going to be, you know, I was going to make a comment about, well, just split it. You're stupid. This was much more abstract and philosophical.
Yeah, you stole that ear of
you
corn.
You stole that ear of corn.
You lying bitch.
I like how this is just dinner conversation. Yeah. First off, they start dinner and they're like, how'd your day go? Well, I stole an ear of corn. Like, and nothing. No, I mean, my days are pretty boring, but I can usually drag up something more interesting than corn.
Yeah.
At least I hope so. Usually.
You would think.
8 out of 10 times, at least. They're talking about the price of vegetables. I can't think of a drier topic. Oh, yeah, you know, the price of vegetables. It's really been going up recently. I had to steal an ear of corn the other day. Like, how dumb. Like, really?
Yeah.
Really.
The food fight then went inside, and that was when more food was being thrown. Kenneth said that he just grabbed random fruits and vegetables and threw it at her.
Did they throw corn at each other?
No, ironically.
No?
She said that she also grabbed a tomato in the fight.
Well, I like the fact that they're specific.
Yeah.
And what fruit did you use, ma'am? Oh, I used a tomato.
Ooh. The red is so...
Ugh.
That's so stressful.
Ugh.
The deputy actually had to take in Kenneth's wine-drenched white shirt for evidence and all the fruits and vegetables on the floor.
He goes back to the station with like a crate full of vegetables, and they're like, why are you bringing your grocery shopping here? And he's like, oh, no, this isn't a grocery shopping trip. This is a terribly violent crime scene.
So many wasted food.
So many young fruits and vegetables lost their lives that night.
Needlessly. Oh.
Needlessly.
Just makes me sad. Pamela Woodman was then arrested on a charge of misdemeanor domestic violence battery. So, there you go.
All because an ear of corn.
All because of an ear of corn, yep. But she was a lying bitch.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
She stole an ear of corn.
Oh, my God. That has got, so just based on like sheer principle, that is one of the strangest stories we have ever had.
Yeah.
Because it was like an argument of morality.
Right.
Think about that for a second.
That just dissolves into food fight.
Food fight. Right. That is so weird.
Yeah. You say Florida Story, I'm thinking naked people. I'm thinking fighting over something stupid. But you're like, no, they had a debate over the morality of stealing an ear of corn.
Yeah. That's, and then it turned into a food fight.
Right. Then it went back to normal Florida weird.
Right. All right. We're done for Florida, but I got a couple of stories left here. Let's do this one from Kansas.
Okay. Kansas, that's the one right in the middle of the U.S., right?
Yeah. I like your sound effect. Like, right there. Like you physically like put like a marker on that.
That's right. In case people can't, you know, in case they don't know, we have a giant map of the U.S. over here, and that's how we keep track. No, we don't. Wouldn't that be great, though?
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Okay, so this one's in Kansas. An intoxicated Kansas man may face criminal charges after he was found this week attempting to have sex with the tailpipe of a parked automobile.
No!
Yes, it happened again.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Curse you, mechanophilia! Again! Why are so many people having sex with cars?
Yeah, why is this a thing?
Stop it! It's not your husky white bear or whatever the person from last week said.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Police in Newton, which is a city 25 miles north of Wichita, responded late Tuesday night to a 911 call about a naked man that was beneath an automobile. The 24-year-old suspects, according to cops, was trying to place his penis right into the tailpipe of the vehicle, which was parked outside an apartment complex.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Oh, that's awful. That's hilarious as well.
The naked man was, quote, I love this in the police report, quote, practically oblivious when contacted by the cops.
Well, yeah, because he's assumedly under the car at this point trying to. I'm just picturing, like, how this is all working.
Despite the presence of officers, the suspect, quote, continued.
Well, I mean, of course.
Yeah. And refused to stop having sex with the tailpipe, according to police.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
It got to the point where cops actually had to tase him because he would not respond to officers. Wow.
Yikes.
He just full-blown just went, I'm ignoring everybody.
He's just got his blinders up. He's like, I got a job to do.
Right. I have to take care of this boner in the tailpipe right now.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
That's entirely too much effort.
He was then taken into custody. The man's blood alcohol content was measured at 0.35, which is more than four times the legal limit.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Wow.
He's so drunk, he's at the point where automobiles are looking sexy.
Yeah, baby. Come over here.
Beep, beep.
Yeah, I saw you honking at me. I know that was you.
What type of car was it? That's what I want to know.
Kansas don't mention it. They're not specific.
You got to be specific.
One thing we're better. Yeah, right. Take that, Kansas.
That's right.
Pennsylvania News Reporting. We report the specific make and model of the vehicle that turns us on.
That's right.
Yeah. Come on,
Kansas.
Nissan
Pathfinder.
Yeah. Step up your game. Step up your game, Kansas.
I can't believe 2 weeks in a row we have people who are fooling around with cars.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And he was arrested and charged with lewd and lascivious behavior. So, there you go.
Oh, man. That's just highly upsetting.
Yep. And I got one more story here for you. Going to Colorado in our last story here.
Okay.
A woman in Aurora, Colorado has been cited for property damage after she allegedly used a 7-Eleven microwave to, quote, damage her urine sample.
Oh.
This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee.
This is my pee-pee.
This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee.
Yes.
Why does that have such a heavy EDM
There's a dubstep.
Why?
PP song.
Oh my god, we need to have these people collaborate with Kanye West to make the PP poop diddy scoop song.
Yeah, we need to ask them if they can do that.
That was so bad. This is my pee-pee.
This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee.
This is my
pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee.
So the white plastic bottle that was filled with her urine sample blew up in the microwave.
Oh, no.
And the pee ended up dripping out of the microwave.
Oh.
26-year-old Angelique Sanchez allegedly left the urine sample in the convenience store on purpose. She told police that the clerk was going to call law enforcement if she didn't clean up the mess. But according to the police report, Sanchez just came back and simply just wiped the microwave.
Ugh.
So, no, not like cleaning products or anything.
I'm sorry. If somebody's pee explodes in your microwave, you need a new microwave. You're not just going to disinfect it. That pee will always be there. At least mentally, that pee will always be in there.
Yes. It's in there.
That's just, that's awful. They probably use that to cook all their food there in that 7-Eleven, too. Oh, jeez. So, she put it in the microwave because she thought she was going to microwave it and it was going to, like, get rid of any traces of, like, alcohol and drugs, right?
Right. So,
what an idiot.
So, when police arrived on the scene, Sanchez ran away. She ran to a nearby clinic where she was supposed to hand over her urine sample for a urinalysis test because she was applying for a job.
This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee.
This is my
pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee. This is my pee-pee.
Yeah. I don't think that's how it works.
No. No. I will say this, though. I'm really starting to appreciate more and more the concept of a drug test. Because I'm realizing now, it's not to catch the people doing drugs. It's to weed out all the people dumb enough that can't do a urine test. It's a very simple thing. Pee into a cup, hand it to a person. If you can't accomplish this, you probably can't do whatever job you're applying for.
Right.
If you can't urinate
properly,
you probably can't hold a job. I'm just saying.
When she was confronted by cops at the clinic, Sanchez reportedly told the police officers that, quote, I had cleaned up the mess. I don't understand the problem.
Oh, right. Of course. It's not the fact that you put your pee into a microwave.
Right.
I thought that it was perfectly acceptable.
And then she told police officers, quote, oh, don't worry. It's not real urine.
What was it then?
This is my pee pee pee. This is my pee pee pee. This is my pee pee pee.
This is my pee
pee pee. This is my pee pee pee. This is my pee pee pee. This is my pee pee.
Yeah.
It's actually more alarming that she said it wasn't urine. What was it?
No, it was real urine. She's just trying to get out at this point.
Right. Okay. That doesn't make me feel any better, though.
Sanchez was cited for damaging the microwave, and she's been forced to repay the 7-Eleven for the microwave. Apparently, it was a $500 microwave.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
So
I bet that microwave was $500.
Yeah, so she's going to have to pay that back.
Uh-huh.
And she's not allowed to take any drug tests for the rest of the month.
I guess she's not getting that job.
Yeah, I guess she's not getting that job. Whoops.
How is she going to make the $500 to buy a new microwave then? Oh, the system is rigged, I tell you. The system is rigged.
Yeah.
I just... I'm so upset with society right now.
People are buying Kanye West poop songs and
having sex with cars, pee in the microwaves.
Putting pee in the microwave.
You really got to try hard to get something to explode in a microwave. Like, yeah. How long did she put it in there?
She probably just hit like 10 minutes and left.
Yeah, she's... What's the highest number this microwave can go to? 99 minutes? There we go. Just enough time.
Right. And it'll discombobulate the genes and
yeah.
the drugs.
And purify it.
And yeah, or whatever.
She probably read it on the internet somewhere. Why can't she buy pee like a normal criminal?
Right. Why can't you just ask
her
friend?
Back in my day, 2 weeks ago, we had stories about people buying urine, and now people are microwaving urine. What does this world come to?
Right. Just ask your brother for a clean urine sample. That's all you have to do.
There you go. That'd probably work.
Yeah. You don't have to go to 7-Eleven.
Right, exactly.
Fools. And there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. Before we wrap this week's episode up, let's go over what have we learned on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I've learned that if someone can't pee into a cup properly, they probably shouldn't be hired regardless of whether or not they fail the drug test.
Yeah.
Okay? If you're putting pee into a microwave or buying pee from someone else, you automatically don't get the job.
Yep.
It's as simple as that.
I think that's a good policy.
I've also learned that mechanophilia is much more popular than we originally thought.
Yeah, two stories in 2 weeks.
Two stories, 2 weeks of people having sex with cars. That's quite alarming.
Yeah.
It really makes me worry that my car is not in a garage and just sitting out there and in the open where anybody can have their way with it.
Right now, your car may be violated. Where is your car?
That's so weird.
It's 11 o'clock on a Thursday night.
Yeah, where is your
where
car?
Where is your car?
Also, that's gross. Why would you want to do that with a car?
Yeah.
Like, a tailpipe? Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. Just get a sex toy like normal people.
Exactly. Exactly. there's stores that sell them. You don't need to get arrested just to get off. Anyway.
What?
You were just deadly yeah, quiet
ahead.
There.
Go
You're
ahead.
Like...
Go ahead.
It was just strange. It was just like dead quiet. I also learned, though, today that... the superintendent of that one school district needs to listen to more Kanye to learn how to properly scoop de poop.
Right? Didn't scoop the poop.
No, he didn't scoop the poop at all. But speaking of other bodily functions, we learned that Poop Diddy Whoop Scoop is the newest Kanye song, and it's fantastic. I love it. I'm going to listen to it on repeat every day. Every day.
It's almost as good as the pee-pee song.
Almost.
We've got the poop song and the pee-pee song.
It's just a great 1-2 punch.
We're now essentially third graders.
Yes.
In terms of music stylings.
All of society is now in third grade.
Yep.
That's what we've learned. Oh, wait, I did learn one more thing. Is that if they want a thing to be a thing, it needs to be one thing.
Couldn't have said it any better myself. And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
Oh, man, and there you go. Another crazy episode in the books for the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Once again, want to thank Vic DiPotato for calling in into the show again. If you want to go see him and you don't mind single tickets, there's a few tickets left for his show at Sugar House Casino Saturday, June 2nd, 9 p.m. You can go that route, or... If you miss out on that date, he'll be coming to Galdo's Catering in Philadelphia later on in the year. So there's a couple of opportunities to support Vic here in Philadelphia, and I highly encourage it. He's a great guy. He's called in on the show now multiple times.
Yeah.
So, definitely go support him and watch his stuff. As for us, though, if you want more of the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle. And follow us on Instagram at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. Make sure you also subscribe to our YouTube channel where you get lots of videos, interviews, best bits, and a lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where you have the mini noodles, the best bits of The Crispy Noodle Podcast, shrunk down into a quick 2-minute promo that you can listen to easily on the go and share with friends and family the craziness that is The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share The Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. Let us know if you're attending the show. Shoot us a tweet or a picture of what's happening, and maybe we'll talk about it here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But for now, that's going to wrap this week's episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. All right, I think it's going to wrap this week's episode up.
Yep.
We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people. That's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.